Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I can tell you one thing I know, why I pass from death unto life. Yes. From one scripture, because I love the brethren. You know, and the Bible said, you know, you pass from death unto life when you love the brethren. Yes. When you're always worn with the brethren, always making yourself better than the brethren, always finding fault with the brethren, continually doing that, you need to check out your salvation. Amen. Is what you need to do. Amen. You failed the word. Amen. The Bible said we esteem our brother greater. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if you want to talk about the jealousy, the envy, and the strife, it ceases when you start esteeming your brother greater than yourself. All of the envy, strife, and jealousies, and the backbite, and the bittering, and all those things just fade away. It's an old travail and a warfare that we find ourselves in when we let that old mind of intellect rise back up. Scriptures are real. That's the one we kill out every day. When you think highly of yourself, mortify it. When you think you're better than somebody, mortify it. When you think you're spiritual, mortify it. Because you're nothing. At your very best, you're as filthy rags. So if you could come to that revelation, you think, you know, if I'm anything, it's in Him. Amen. I'm nothing without Him. I can do nothing without Him. Amen. So it's all in Him. Yes. When you realize that you're nothing and He's everything and you're in Him, then you praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. We all have the same problem. Got a man that comes up and rises up. That old man rises up, man, thinks he's something. Thinks he's smart, thinks he's sharp, thinks he's skilled, thinks he's a theologian, he thinks he knows his Bible well, thinks he knows the scriptures. Let me tell you something, that's a pitiful place to be. Because I'll tell you, God's ways are so beyond ours. And if we think we got it down, well, I know how to worship the Lord and I know what kind of worship He's looking for. Let me tell you something, many of the church's worship grieves Him. It really does. Now, there's a time for excitement and charisma. Brother, when you're evangelistic and somebody gets set free and all the angels in heaven are rejoicing, yes, we're rejoicing too. Amen. But then yet there's times to study. You know, Mary and Martha, we find one being reproved. But see, there would be another time that it would have been absolutely appropriate. You understand that? Absolutely appropriate. Let me share a story about that with you, about Andy's grandfather. Several brethren were sitting in at the feet of the pastor all day long. The brother's going in Revelation. Men sitting there all day long, all day long. You could hear the hammers in the background, the building, the pounding. There was a timeline on trying to get a project done. Brother Atlee out there worked all day. Over an early evening, he comes in, wore out. Come on now. He comes in and he sat down there for about 30 minutes. And Brother George was going in Revelation. And he said, you know, brother, he said, that man got more than any of you did in just a few minutes, because he honored God and sacrificed being in here. But because of that sacrifice, God honored. Let me tell you something. You could study and study and study and study, and you'll be nothing but wormy. And all your studies and all your intellect is absolutely the enemy of God, because it's wormy manna. But let me tell you something. I've had God quicken things by a word of knowledge to me. Pow, like that. That would have took me months of study. It just all of a sudden imparted it right in your spirit. And it's just alive to you. And it's like, wow. You know, thanks. I don't know how many of you ever been caught away before, but you get caught into that quickening just for a moment. I'm telling you, just for a moment, the quickening. The Bible said a quickening spirit. And when you get caught away from this natural man for a moment in the quickening, I'm telling you what, this world is in a standstill. Your mind is in a standstill. You heard of people going into car wrecks, and they say that in that time that there was, you know, that said everything went into a slow motion mode. You see, they were laying in the balance between the quickening and this life here. And all of a sudden, it just seemed like everything. I've had that happen to me on more than one occasion. I flipped the go-kart end over end about five times, and then I came out of the thing and I hit the blacktop. But it was just like I could remember every single tumble. I remember the steering wheel breaking out of the thing, and I remember coming out, ejecting out of the thing. I remember hitting the blacktop. I mean, it was like it seemed to me when I was watching and seeing this thing, it seemed like a 30-minute accident. You see, but there's a thing, brethren, another dimension, the quickening. The quickening. If your eyes could be quickened for a moment, you could see beyond the veil of this time, of this moment, and see into the spiritual realm. And there's things that could be revealed to you in a snap of a finger that would absolutely blow your mind. Amen. So, you know, it's wonderful. The Bible said to workmen who need not be ashamed. You know, we study. I'm not against study of the word, but we got to get in the spirit of the word. Amen. Then the spirit of the word will unveil the studies of the word. Let's talk about faith and works for a moment. Do you realize the importance of both of these working together? You can have faith with no works. The Bible said your faith is dead. And you can have works with no faith, and then you're dead. You see what I'm saying? But you got to have them both. So we take one scripture out of the word. Oh, I'm saved by faith, not by works, so no man can boast. You say, and I say, you know what? I know that scripture well. But if you're going to make a doctrine out of that scripture, you're going to perish. We got to take it line upon line. We perfect faith by our works. I preach works. I preach works. I preach works. I love to preach works. There's nothing greater than preaching works. Because I'm going to tell you why. Because when a man has works, the Bible said when a man commits his works unto the Lord, his thoughts can be established. And established thoughts, Brother John, is what can bring faith. If your thoughts ain't established, you'll never know faith or see faith. You'll never know it. Faith is invisible. Remember that. And the only way to see it, the only way to see it, brethren, is by coming in to the spiritual perspective of thought. And then when you see it through the mind of Christ, amen, and that means the shucks will come off of your eyes. You love the Lord tonight? Amen. I know I got you standing here. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the manifestation of the Spirit and the Word in flesh, Lord God. And we thank you, most gracious Father, that he still walks and talks and fellowships with us, Lord God. We're thankful people, Lord God, that you never left us or forsook us. Father, that we stand in the presence of your glory on a daily basis, Father. And we love you and we praise you. Have your way tonight in Jesus' name. You can be seated this evening. Well, you know, I see this President Trump. I pulled it up on the internet and watched his address to the Congress. I guess this was his first one. And he's been in about a month. And I could sure give him some honor for effort. I tell you, the guy's been pushing, been doing some things, pressing. You say, well, I'm not in agreement with him. The only thing I'm in agreement with is my Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. But let me tell you something. He has his way in the good and in the evil. And I could say one thing for that man is he is most definitely dealing with some things that needed to be dealt with in this nation, in this country. And I appreciate that. And what I understand through his speech is that he put a freeze on government hiring. Man, I think that is wonderful. And then they were finding fault with him because he hasn't found some directors for some of these federal agencies, and he said, we don't need them. We don't need one federal agency to do the job for another federal agency that isn't doing it. See, that's the kind of talk I like. Come on now. You know, and everything is so out of order. I can't wait to hear the reports. He sends somebody over to straight out the Georgia Department of Corrections. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be rejoicing when I hear that report. Amen. But I'm telling you, our government's corrupt in every aspect, city government, county government, state government, federal government. It's all corrupt. And they've got people that have just absolutely come in and learned how to get a paycheck without doing anything. And there's too much manpower in the government. I'm not an ignorant man by no means. It takes a lot of people to be thankful that there's taxes and things to keep our roads and the different things in order. But right now, there's more than an abundance of money to take care of everything that needs to be took care of and to be very benevolent around the world. There's an abundance of money if we would remove the fat. Amen. Come on now. If they could remove the sluggards and the robbery. The man said he's already saved the American people over $1 trillion in his first month by changing the contracts with Lockheed. Now you say, Brother Rob, we come to church tonight. I didn't come for some political thing. But maybe you are not seeing something here. Because this is what the Bible says. The unseen things of the spirit world are here by the thing we can understand them and comprehend by the things we see. And this man is very significant. I told you from day one that he's very significant. If he did or didn't get out in office, his name is very significant to the time and the day that we're in. And many of these presidents have carried a very powerful allegory for things that are taking place in this time. You understand? In the day, in the moment, in the time that we're in. I believe that we needed somebody with a little bit of strength. You know, a lot of the Republican people, I'm not speaking as a Republican, I'm not speaking as a Democrat, but I'm speaking with an understanding of both parties. And the thing is that many of the Republican people, they look back to the Reaganomics and some of the things that took place. He made a lot of terrible mistakes, but then yet he was a man. And he wasn't afraid to talk like a man and speak like a man. Jimmy Carter was mocked throughout his years of presidency. And when we had men that was being held over there by the Ayatollah Khomeini, I remember these things. And they were mocking America and everything. And President Carter should have took some strength. Just like Kennedy did back in the Bay of Pigs, they mocked him and laughed at him. And they incarcerated our men over there in this Guantanamo Bay that we own now and have that. But they had American soldiers incarcerated in prison over in Cuba for years because of a president that laid down. You never send men out and then walk away and leave them and change your mind after you put them in a foreign fields and a country to fight and then change your mind in the middle of it. You understand it? But you know, there's Brother Pike mentioned some things to me about warfare and war tactics that works in the natural dimension of an army. And I was talking to him one day, and I'll just tell you the way I thought. I thought, you know, man, we've got CIA. We've got a lot of special people that infiltrated all over this world. Why don't we just take a sniper, you know, back in the time when Saddam Hussein was going. So why don't we just take a sniper and just take care of him? And Brother George said this to me, he said, that would be a mistake. The Bible teaches you smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. And he said, you shoot that headship in, and he said, those people scatter all over, but you keep the head alive, you know where the people at and you deal with it. You see, and just a little simple biblical explanation makes you think totally different. Because you're thinking, let's just get rid of that guy. But you see, you got to get rid of the whole thing and then get rid of the head. You know what I'm saying? After you get it all under control. But again, as I'm saying, I'm not speaking to you as a politician. I can say as a man. I differentiate between a man observing things that are good for man. I also have to rend the veil and understand things what's good for the kingdom of God. And that's where my loyalty's at, is in the kingdom of God. Everything I do is for the kingdom of the Lord. I am an ambassador for Jesus Christ in the earth. So I can't get involved in the politics of America. You understand, when you send an ambassador to another country, he's going to have American people on that soil in mind. That's what I got in my mind. I got in mind for the elect of God in this world. And some of them, we got to search them out and let them know who they are in Christ. Amen. And let them know. And when you start speaking to them about their Lord and God, they're going to be something relative, and you're going to draw them out. There's a lot of people out here in the religious realms or in the world that aren't in church, brethren, because they got sick and tired of the play games in the churches. They got sick and tired of the games that the churches are playing. And they just got this little thing set up as a business. You know, and this is what we do. We entertain you. We have a little bit of this. And then they teach that this is the vindication that God's with us. They got many things that they teach that say, man, this is the vindication of God. And let me tell you something. I'm thankful to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, because when I was laboring and pressing in the ministry and learning and trying to, going from state to state and sitting under ministries and going to meeting after meeting and revivals and things like that, I'm thinking, what is this, God? Are you using these perverts? Are you using these whoremongers? Are you using these drunkards because you don't have nobody to preach your word? And this is the way I was thinking, because I met so much perversion and filth coming forth from what we would call sacred desks or pulpits around the country. I'll call them pulpits again. I seen so much failure, so much heartache. I just about was shipwrecked in my faith on so many times, being cheated and robbed by ministers. Even as I've been here as a pastor, it's been the same continual thing. I just got ripped off from a guy that called himself a minister. That's your own ignorance, Brother Rob. I was searching for you people something. I was trying to get maybe hooked up with I was being lied to, yes. And I thought, man, this guy has some pretty stiff stories. He always had something really great, don't matter what you said to him. But I was looking for these young ministers here for a place to get them hooked up with some other organizations. He's telling me how holy they were, how godly they were, how they ran their churches. Went into details for hours on hours on hours on end of how this, I'm thinking, wow. You know, praise God, I didn't think there was anybody left like that in the earth. I was in hopes, brethren. I truly was. I was truly in hopes. And it was nothing but a pervert, nothing but a liar, and nothing but a scumbag. And he said, that show's bad for you, Brother Ron. Well, praise God. Amen. It keeps a man humble thinking, yeah, don't think too highly of yourself. I'll tell you that. You'll find out. Amen. And you mock the preacher and think that you're more spiritual. Hang on, brother, because you got one big ride to go through. Amen. You will find out. You will find out, brother. I tell you that. Amen. Brother Pike was one of the greatest men of God I ever knew. But I sat under him for 5 years. And in that 5 years, we were robbed for $100,000, Andy, on one business transaction buying a church. So let's throw all of his stuff away and make him no good. Amen. Come on, let's do that. You see, maybe I hit a spot there, huh? But he was a man of God and loved and he trusted people. The Bible said charity believeth all things. He believed people. He didn't want to accuse people of being a liar and things. He would want to give them the benefit of the doubt and believe them and trust them. So, does that justify me? Absolutely not. Amen. I'm sure he was heartbroken over the same situation. I could go on. But you know what? We're going to keep on pressing. Yeah. And I tell you, brother, and I said, you know what? I'm not afraid to get robbed. I'm not afraid to get lied to. I'm not afraid of those things to try to win a soul. You know, if your soul, your possessions are so precious to you that you're afraid to open up your house to love somebody, you don't need a home. You need to find yourself with nothing and without. You know, if anything, everything I got's his. And if somebody comes in and takes advantage of me and takes what's his, they could deal with him. Amen. He blesses me with an abundance. Amen. Yes, I want to be a steward over my finance. I want to be a steward over his things because everything I have is his things. And I want to honor his finances in all things and in whatever I do. I want to do it decent and do it in order. And I want there to be fruit and life. Amen. So pray for me. Amen. I'm going to read some scripture here to you in Luke, the 20th chapter. Give me just a second here where I'm going to start at. Let's go to verse 26, and we'll read there just for a moment. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Then came to him certain Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. And they ask him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore seven brethren, and the first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife, and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also, and they left no children, and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrections, whose wife of them is she? For the servant had her to wife. And Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. Let me read that again. It says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. I did speak about this the other night from the sacred desk talking about the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. In their doctrines, they teach, again, that if you go to Salt Lake City or to Jerusalem and marry in their tabernacle, that your marriage is sealed in for all of eternity. Failure. That's not the only failure they have. That's just one of the failures they have. But then yet, if we were going to get into the Church of Latter-day Saints' doctrines, how many have studied their doctrines? Anybody in here? They have some doctrines that are accurate, and they have some that are really dangerous and terrible. You know, when I look and see some of the doctrines that some of these churches and these founders have put them in, when we think of John Smith, the man was seeing some things by the mind of Christ in Revelation, but he didn't know how to differentiate them and discern them and put them in order. I've heard some revelational, or what is supposed to be some revelational doctrine, come from some pretty stable people, but it was off, and there was error in it. I was counseling and teaching and preaching in a church, and I was talking in some revelational things, and a woman interrupted me. She said, "Well, Brother Rom," she goes, "we understand that Satan and Jesus are one and the same." I said, "Whoa, wait a minute here." I said, "No, you don't understand that." And I said, "Where did you learn that?" And she told me the preacher's name that was preaching this. Y'all know him. You know where he came from. You know the church he sat in and what he came out from under, this and that. Even though he never sat, well, I was there in 5 years. I never seen him sit and submit to his uncle, my pastor. Never seen him do it. But he went teaching these people that Jesus and Satan were one and the same. And they thought they had a revelation. I'm thinking, please, help me, Lord. Now, let me say some things here that could take a man over into some of these directions. Now, listen to me. And the Bible said a wise man will hear the end of the matter. And if you could learn what I'm talking about here, it might be able to help you in some other areas. But let's go into allegories for a moment. What was shown on the pole in the Old Testament for the healing of the people? Somebody tell me. A serpent. A brazen serpent on the pole. And it was for the healing. Moses, they held that thing up for the healing of the people. What was that serpent typical of? Somebody tell me. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right there, we need to stop for a moment. Okay? I'd say we would need to stop for a moment. Because you're saying, well, if this serpent is typical of the Lord Jesus Christ being shown forth as a brazen serpent in the Old Testament, and even the medical sign in our nation is a pole with a serpent wrapped around it, showing and magnifying our Lord and Savior, even in the medical practices of our nation. So why would the Lord use a serpent in the Old Testament as a shadow or an allegory to point over to our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ? Now, let's go to some New Testament doctrine a moment. Now, you can write these things down, look them up, or whatever. I could have Chuck put some of these things up on the board. The Bible teaches us, New Testament, okay? And it teaches that Jesus came in the image of sin. It says the sin nature. Come in the image of sin, the nature of sin. What is that? Man. And man shows the serpent. Okay? Now, this is where, if I was going to get into some of Brother William Branham's teachings and doctrines tonight, as I went back before him and to other what we would consider or what many consider to be church-age messengers, I'm going to tell you something. If you go back and look at the church-age messengers, they had some false doctrine, and they were esteemed to be the greatest men of God in that day and that moment. They were the greatest men of God, but because of the light got brighter, they were in some doctrines, and God didn't hold them accountable to it because they did not see it. And they loved him with all their heart. Let me tell you, when I was a Trinitarian, I loved my Lord with all my heart. And I was learning and sitting under men of God and pressing as hard as I could into the things. And God spoke to me and moved me to a place. The Bible says, when you have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, that you shall be filled. And when I was a Trinitarian, now some of you Jesus name people say, well, I know for sure, Brother Rob, that you were lost and on your way to hell before you got baptized in Jesus' name. It just goes to show you don't know the Bible, my friend. You're the one that needs to get some help. Because my Bible said this, that my name was put in the book of life before the world ever was. So what you going to do with that? Now, if I wouldn't have came to Jesus' name, then you might have something to say. Are you saying that them Trinitarian people are saved and filled with the Holy Ghost? I'm saying not all of them. And I'll also go a little bit farther than that and say there's a lot of Jesus' name people ain't been saved neither, nor filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen? You see, we've got these waypoints. The Bible said don't remove the landmarks. You know, I understand that. But we've got some of these things set and anchored so tight that we're going to miss God. Because I'm telling you, when we go back and we look all the way back over at the move of the Protestant move, I'm telling you what, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful for that, that Martin Luther protested against the Catholic Church. He was a man. Huh? Come on. He was a man, had some strength. He put his life in harm's way. He was orchestrated by the Holy Ghost is what he was doing. But he was a Trinitarian. Continued on in some Trinitarian doctrines for hundreds of years after that. But he was a chosen elect of God. And he pulled the people out. So we come on down through time. And we find, if we come all the way over to Brother William Branham, a powerful, powerful man of God. Many miracles and things vindicated. And the miracles were to draw the people together. You think it's such a great desire for God just to heal people? And take sickness and disease from them? You think that's his real true desire? His true desire, brethren, is to get people born again, that they could make it into the kingdom, even if it takes suffering. But people don't want to talk about it. Just like the preacher I had here from India. Comes right here in this church. He says, if your preacher's preaching suffering, you need to run. I'm thinking, wow, this guy ain't read the Bible, has he? Equip yourself, brethren, with a mind to suffer. Come on. You know, the Bible's so clear about suffering. I guess the Apostle Paul didn't understand that. Or Peter, huh? How many great men of God have suffered afflictions? I guess we need to throw the Book of Martyrs away for sure, if we believe it. You know, he said Jesus done all the suffering. You see, the man was in one dimension. He was accurate, but he sure failed in another dimension altogether. We got to bring all these things together, brethren. Every one of them. In Galatians, it said there's no Greek nor Jew, no male nor female, no bond or free, that we all become the same. How many believe the word? I do. Now, let me ask you this. If I take that and apply it in the wrong dimension, it's legal for me to marry a man. Come on now, listen to me. I'm going to help you with your doctrines a little bit. If I'm going to preach a doctrine that a woman could pastor a church, my friend, because there's no male nor female, and we all become the same, I could take the same doctrine that she's taken and say, hey, I could marry Brother David if I want to. Man, you know, there's no male nor female. Hey, my wife could go get her a woman. Come on now. Wouldn't that be the same? Come on, let's be real for a moment. If I'm going to remove it over here in this area, then they can do the same thing. And that's what they do. The perverts use the same thing. Now, why would a pervert use the same thing that a woman would use? Because they're both a perversion in the gospel. We got to go start in the book of Genesis. Now, I've taught you, brethren, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Women prophesy. Women see things in the spirit. They have dreams and visions. And a man that just thinks he's so much better than a woman and cuts a woman off, that man's an ignorant man, Brother Andy. He truly is. He's an ignorant man. When you think because she's a woman that she can't make a contact with the heavens and God, I'll tell you what, a woman could be standing in the gap for you, my friend. And she could be helping you by being on her knees, petitioning the throne of God for you. Don't you ever take and make some woman some lesser thing, so to speak. Come on now. There's a reason that God does not use women in the fivefold ministry. And if we got to go all the way back, and I could take you through it from Genesis and tell you why. And the woman being in the fall and in the transgression. And he said at that point, and you say, well, that's done away with the crucifixion of Christ. You need to be careful what you think was done away with in the crucifixion of Christ, because he says, I'm the same to every generation. I'm going to tell you something. We're in a dispensation of grace right now, but I'm telling you what, he thinks no different than he did when he told them and commanded them to go in and remove and wipe out that whole city, taking everything, man, woman, child, beast, clear it out. I'm telling you, that's God. Now listen to me. That's God. He's looking to keep his elect. And if you don't think that's God and you don't believe me, there's going to be many of these people that profess Christianity. You're going to see that kind of God with an iron fist and not too far off, bringing judgment and wrath upon this world. Some of these great men of God that some of you have confidence in, you've read their books, and they all come to so many of the things in agreement. Brother William Branham said he went into a vision and passed over the United States of America, and he said the whole country was turned to rubble. You say, what do you think about that, Brother Rob? I think he was a man of God, and he saw some things. And you say, you believe those things will come to pass? Well, they have to come to pass, thus saith the Lord. You know why? Because the great man of God said it? No, because the word of God said there won't be one stone standing on top of another. Amen? There's going to be a lot of things that take place, brethren. There's a lot of things laying on the horizon. And we can get so busy looking into the prophetical things that we'll forget to serve God today. And we'll put everything off for tomorrow. But today's the day of salvation. Today's the day of the Lord. Today he is the I am. Today I am a son of God. Today I'm walking in the Spirit and fellowshipping with him and dwelling in heavenly places. Amen. When all of your whole Christianity has been looking forward to another day, you've been misled. Brethren, I tell you, I'm as eternal right now as I ever will be. Are you talking about this vessel that you're in? I'm talking about this vessel that I am will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. But I'm not talking about this vessel. The Bible says, so know no man after the flesh. That's what this vessel is. I'm speaking by the Spirit. I'm as eternal now as I will ever be. I am already living in eternity. If I've already passed from death unto life, as the Bible says, then I have already more than a conquered. Death has been abolished. It's done away with. I happen to believe that. And you say, what if they throw you in a box? It has nothing to do with what I'm speaking about. They put this carcass in a box and you go by and smell the stench of the thing, rotten. And you say, boy, that preacher didn't know what he's talking about. No, you're just so mistaken. Amen. I'm not magnifying this man or this body. I'm magnifying the body of Christ. I'm magnifying the eternal Spirit of Jesus Christ that lives in me, that I become one with, that I become intertwined with. He's in me and I'm in him. We become one. You understand that? The oneness people have a revelation of the Godhead being one. Well, you know, they need to come on a little farther to come to the revelation that we are one in the Godhead. Amen. That's the same thing. That's doctrine. It's Bible. I could take you over to John and read it to you where Jesus said, I'm in you and you in me. Separate that. You can't. There's nothing that could be laid to your charge. There isn't any way to separate that. That's why he goes on to say when you're his elect, Brother John, he said that you're born of God and he said you cannot sin. He didn't say you might not. He didn't say you could or possibility. When you're born of God, you cannot sin. That's that simple. And you say, well, I just don't believe that. Well, you don't believe the word that makes you an unbeliever. I'm speaking by the Spirit. My spirit man's saved, set apart, sanctified, justified. Amen. It don't need to be glorified, brethren. It is in the glory of the Lord, walking with the Lord. This is the thing that has to be glorified. The flesh. The spirit's already. Brethren, it's got everything that pertaineth to all things. Everything. This man isn't the part that's glorified. It's sanctified through our works. It's sanctified by us taking the eternal things of the Spirit and of the mind of Christ and bringing this flesh under subjection and making it line up and walk with God and denying it of its fleshly lust and the fleshly things. That's sanctification, brethren. Justification is what's taking place in the Spirit with Christ. He justified me by his works. He justified me by his labors. He justified me with his blood. He set me apart with his love, his labors, his works. That's my salvation. I'm boasting in him and him alone, not me. You understand that? So now we understand his works. Now, because my spirit has been made one with him, then we take and let that spirit manifest in this mortal body. The Bible says this. Again, I use a lot of the same scriptures over and over for you to get a hold of a foundational thought. You'll sit and tell me, you say, "Brother Rob, I've heard you say that, but you never saw it. You haven't seen it. I can tell by your walk. I can tell by your talk. I can tell the way you're frolicking and tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You ain't seen it. And I'm going to be repetitive until you get your eyes open. And I'm not going to let up. Because you're going to perish in your carnal mind thinking that you know something when you don't know what you ought to know." Amen. Brethren, I watched one of the greatest teachers and one of the greatest preachers that I ever met pour his heart out. I was there only 5 years, and he poured his heart out. Very repetitious. Service after service after service. And he said, "I could count you on one hand." Oh, man, I could see the zeal. Man, we'd have some powerful altar services. I could see the zeal and the shout and the scream and the dance. But, brethren, he said, "I could count you on one hand." Was he a liar? Somebody think the man was a liar? You know, come on, brethren. We have got to get a hold of some things and see it and pass from death unto life. And we got to see in the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ. We got to sometimes study to be quiet and just listen and get a hold of the spirit of things and see it for what it really is. And brethren, sometimes we can have these quotes. We could have these revelational truths, and we could quote the Word of God and the men of God, but then it's got to come to revelation. It has to. It has to. Revelation, we've made it into a head knowledge. I'm telling you, this is one of the biggest dangers in this day and hour. The biggest dangers in our day and hour is what we have done is we've created a Jesus Christ as a substitute for the real one. I'm sorry to say that. Man, we'll talk about him. We'll praise him. We'll shout his name. We'll sing about him and this and that and deny him before we get out the door. I'm telling you, it's sad. And we got all this polished ethics, all of these quotes, and think that we're something when we're nothing. Brother, I'm going to tell you something. When a man gets really, truly filled with the Holy Ghost, he is going to, yes, you're going to go through the charisma and the praise and the things when you get your sins lifted off you. That's wonderful. But we got to go beyond that. We got to go beyond that. The Bible said the children, you know, they sit down to eat and then they rise up to play. Come on now. There's that scripture's there for a very important reason, brethren. And we don't want to do that. We want to be established. Let me tell you, when a man receives God's Spirit, he's like a baby. Come on now, a baby. You know, Brother John and Sister Carrie, they got a beautiful little boy back there, and you know, he's a baby. Brother Rob can't hold him accountable to what you've been listening to for 20 years or 15 years or whatever, 10 years. That little baby doesn't have the understanding. Man, that little baby's in a perfect place, man. He's in the bosom of God, man. Nothing could touch him. Amen. It doesn't matter if one of them big storms would have wiped this church out and took everybody with it tonight. Man, that little baby boy, I know for a fact that where he's at. Man, I'll tell you what, he's got everything okay. But it's when they come up to age and they start denying the Lord and mocking God. And then when they have parents that's teaching them false doctrine. Come on now. Parents teach their children false doctrine and they don't even know it. They teach them things that they needed to conquer. You see, that they needed to conquer. Moms and dads need to conquer some things for don't see the children going through it. I tell you, it's hard. It's heartbreaking to see your children go through the ignorance that you did. And thinking you taught them there, you brought them there. And you get sometimes, man, you get your eyes open too late. You get your understanding enlightened too late in life. And you think, man, I've already messed up my family, messed up my children by my ignorance, by my lasciviousness, by my lightheartedness, by my instabilities, by me thinking highly of myself, by me not taking and esteeming the things of God greater than my business or greater than my life or greater than my things. We think and we teach a doctrine that Jesus just loves you and just loves you just the way you are and this and that. Well, I can talk about how great his love is, brethren, but we need to really be careful. Because again, the grace of God is not to take to the occasion of your flesh. That's Bible, that's doctrine. We do not take the grace of God to the occasion of your flesh. I like the way Brother Pike preached. He said, everything man does is for his belly. He goes to work for his big belly. Buys a car to ride his big belly around in. This is the way he expressed it. I'm just expressing his expression. Then he gets a house to keep his big belly warm and cool and dry. Everything man does is for the belly. He showed it there in the garden when the beast was cast down like a serpent on his belly. Everything man does is for the belly, on his belly. Reproduction's on his belly. Everything's about the belly. Amen. And it'll lead you into damnation. Amen. Now, let me back up. I opened up some doctrine. We're talking about the serpent. Some people that supposedly are supposed to be in revelational doctrine go off to a church teaching these people that Jesus and Satan are one and the same. So then I will go over and I say, now wait a minute, we got to be real careful here. There's some fine lines here of differentiation. No, Jesus and Satan are not one and the same. But what Jesus did was took the full fury and wrath of God upon himself as a serpent. Because the serpent is the one that brought death through man. So he had to take that place and receive the full penalty of sin and death and judgment on himself. Why? For you and I wouldn't have to. Amen. So that doesn't make them one and the same, but it shows him coming in this fleshly, sinful image. He had no sin. Don't misunderstand me. If somebody tries to leave here and say, Brother Rob, teach Jesus sin, I ain't teaching that. I said he came in that image of it. Some of the men want to wear their hair long. They say, well, Jesus had long hair. Well, you really can't prove that by doctrine. I know where you'll go to the Nazarite vow, but that isn't going to prove it if you understand it. But I do say this to them that are still hard-headed enough to think that they're justified. I said, yeah, and he came in the image of sin. You go ahead and keep walking in it. Amen. But when he came forth in the resurrection, they didn't recognize him. So if he had his beard and his long hair, it was no longer when he came forth in the resurrection. And furthermore, his doctrine says in the word, it says that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So you better get a hold of the revelation and understand what's going on there. Amen. So when we go to the scriptures and we look and we see this, and this is where people that are playing with drugs and alcohol, and this is where they come up with these ignorant revelations because they're unclean. A man of God once told me this, and he was speaking about another supposedly minister. He said, the man has revelation, but he said his revelation is tainted because the man is unclean and he lives an unclean life. And I remember, man, it fed me. It spoke to me. And I registered to me, thus saith the Lord. That was the mind of Christ speaking. And it was very accurate. But let me tell you, them words, when I looked at man that told me that right in his eyes, his words revived back to me about his revelations, someone speaking to me, about his revelations being tainted and perverted because the man wasn't living right. I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. When a man is in immorality, And if you're in a church, some of you that tune in here, and your pastor has been exposed in sexual immorality, you need to go find you a man of God. Oh, but Brother Rob, man, this man got set free. He repented before God. He got delivered and this and that. And I'll tell you, he's a mighty man of God. He will pervert you. That's why America's perverted, because they've made these allowances for all this filth over and over and over again. Let me tell you something. The sacred desk is what it means, sacred. The calling of God into the fivefold ministry is a godly, holy, sacred thing. There has been many men that have been called to that calling of a prophet or of an evangelist or of a pastor, but they've went into the corruption. I'm talking about after they came to this revelation and to this calling and to this understanding. And then they go off into sexual immorality and perversion. They put wives away and they get more and get another one. That man has disqualified himself. That man is not chosen. I've heard this story over and over and over again. Oh, you're taking away the grace of God. You're taking away the mercy of God. Let me tell you what the grace of God is. That man can find repentance in this earth and pay a price and make it into the kingdom of God. I didn't put the man in hell. By the mercies of God, he can have grace given to him and he can find him a place in the church of repentance. But he is violated the sacred desk. He has violated the calling. He has violated the people. He's violated God. And he has to step down. And he could find a place in the area of works, in labors, helping a man of God. That's mercy. Amen. Come on now, saints. Now listen to me. There's so many people that disagree with this. I'm telling you, I very seldom find a preacher that agrees with what I'm teaching right now. But let me tell you something. What Brother Pike said. And I went to him and I spoke with him and I asked questions after questions after questions. I used to burn his ears up. And this is what he said. He said, Brother Rob, listen to me. He said, if you take one of these ministers, and he used Jimmy Swaggart as a prime example. He said, that man had the whole eyes of the whole world on him. He was on satellites around the world and he was known in about every continent of this world. And he said, that man goes off into sexual immorality. He comes back before the American people or before the people of the world and he weeps and he cries. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Weeps and cries. He turned the tears on. But he went and done it again, didn't he? Now, I'm just using him as an example now. But he turned on the tears. He didn't take the reprimand that came from the Assembly of God Church. They told me I had to step down for at least a year and go into some counseling and different things. He quit them. He was too big and mighty now. He quit them and he kept right on going. Okay? Brother Pike said it ain't done. He said he's going to fail again. And he did. Got exposed again. But here's what he said about this. He used him as an example. He says when you have a man that is in the ministry and he goes and he gets himself in trouble. And he comes before the people and cries. And you restore him right back in that office. He said, what you're doing is telling every one of them young men, every one of them young ministers that are in the same fleshly struggles of every man that's dealing with lust, that's dealing with the drawing of this things and the love of this world. And then all of a sudden, some, as the Bible calls them, a silly woman laden with lust, subverting whole households. And all of a sudden, this woman approaches this guy. And he thinks, oh man, and he yields to his passions. Oh, if I get caught, I'll just go back up before the church like these other leaders did. These other ministers. Oh God, I'm sorry. No, what they need to know is that this is a sacred desk. And that the calling is a godly calling. And you're going to have to sell out to God. And you're going to have to bring forth the fruit. Amen. You're going to have to yield yourself. It says many are called and few are chosen. You know how many men I know got callings in their life, but they will never be chosen of God. They never will because of their filth and their perversions. Even if they put those aside, they violated the thing so bad. Man came to Brother Pike And he told him he felt like he had a call. And he said, sir, he goes, I see the anointing of God in your life. But he said, you've had too many wives, my friend. You've had too many wives. And you'll reproach the ministry. Amen. He said, even if you could show me that you've been freed by every single one of them, it reproaches the ministry because you got too many wives. You see, people don't like this stuff. You know, because America has gone to lasciviousness. Oh, God loves you just the way you are. Nobody's perfect, they teach. That's a lie from hell. That's a lie from every lying preacher out there. When they tell you you're a sinner and you sin every day, that's a lie. Amen. And they want to make you nobody perfect, and we all sin and we sin every day. They tell you that stuff for they could keep living like they're dogs. That's why they got to bring the lights in the church. That's why they got to bring the fog machines in the church. That's why they got to bring the smoke in the church. That's why they got to bring the rock and roll in the church. Because the anointing of God has left them. And they get there and they imitate. They imitate the reign of God. They imitate the glory of God. They imitate and shout. And it's not anointed. It's a fleshly anointing. A fleshly anointing could give you goosebumps. We don't serve God by feelings. We serve Him by the Word. And we walk in the power and of the Spirit of a sound mind. Come on, saints of God. We got to get squared up with the Word and stay in the Word and walk with the Word. I don't need some fleshly emotions. You know, I tell you what, sometimes it's hard to hold them back. And yet we might want to shout and cry and scream. You hear me do it all the time. But let me tell you something. That's not salvation. I tell you, some of these preachers, they've learned that they imitate perfectly the anointed men of God. They get up behind the sacred desk or the pulpits, and boy, they know how to orchestrate. Man, they're professionals, orators. Man, they've got it down. And I'm telling you what, there's many people that can watch this and not see that they don't even have the Holy Ghost. They talk like a Holy Ghost filled man. They walk like one. They shout like one. They dance like one. And they don't have God's Spirit. God's Spirit, Ichabod, has been put over the door of their heart. It departed from them. Let me tell you something. A man that's skilled in the Scriptures and in the Word, and he's a skilled speaker and orator, he could hold people. Man, he could get them feeling good. But let me tell you something. It's not going to take place of the real Spirit and the virtue and the power and the anointing of God. Now, I'll say this and keep it as simple as I can and in order. But listen to me. A barren woman cannot have a child. Listen to me. A barren woman cannot bring forth a child. And there's many barren. It's supposed to be the bride. Now, the bride of Christ ain't barren, so don't think you heard me say that. But there's many. If you go into the understanding of the dispute for the woman, you're going to understand all of mankind shows the feminine perspective. And they're saved in childbearing. You got to come to that revelation. Man, woman alike. That's why we're called the bride. We're saved for childbearing. We're the bride without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. We have to have the wedding garment on or we'll be cast out. Now I'm talking feminine. We're not talking the third heaven. We're talking the second heaven. I in the second heaven is feminine, not in the third. You understand that? The woman brings forth the heir to the throne. There was a place prepared in the wilderness. There's not a wilderness in the third heaven. Amen. There's a wilderness in the second heaven. The fight, the struggle, the blood, the war is all in the second heaven. Amen. Now, we go back to the marriage and go back to the relationship in the first heaven. I'm not getting ignorant here. The Bible said the marriage bed's undefiled in all of its ways. God put the desire for a woman in a man and put the desire and then the woman I get it right here. And the woman for the man and the man for the woman. Now, when they leave that natural affection, the Bible tells you what that is. It's a perversion. Okay? But we got, well, you know, this 2017, we just call them gay. There ain't nothing gay about it. It's a filthy, wretched perversion. I don't care if it's your mama. I don't care if it's your brother. I don't care if it's your sister. I don't care if it's your daddy. I don't care who it is. It's a perversion. We had a vice president 15 years ago or so. And boy, he was a Republican, man. And he stood on all the Republican values until his daughter turned into a lesbian. And all of a sudden he switched over to the Democratic Party in his ideology. That's what many of you people call yourself Christians do. You do the very same thing. Oh yeah, I believe that, brother. But then when your daughter turns into a pervert, you don't believe it no more. And you make compromises. It's a bad day and hour we're in, brethren. Making it difficult. You preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, they don't want you in the prisons. They don't want you in the colleges. And they don't want you in the churches, if you want to get right down to the matter of fact about it. They don't like you when you preach the word. When I was evangelizing, you wouldn't believe how many ministers told me I needed to back off. They said, your offerings will get better. I wasn't there for the offerings. I was looking for souls. Brother Ed was with me when I'm preaching over there in Indiana. And they're popping up in the service, screaming at me and yelling at me. A woman stands up, about right where Crystal's at, stands up. She says, I'm a man! I've been circumcised! I said, sit down and shut your mouth. That's what she said. I said, you're out of order. I'm here to preach God's word. And I just happened to hit on the women preachers, and she didn't like it, so she stands up in her boldness. I told her to sit down. She's out of order. Then her husband jumps up. He runs up on the platform and grabs the mic out of my hand. And he's shaking. Like, I thought the dude was going to have a stroke right there, and I'm looking at him saying, and I kind of looked at him, boy, and he's yelling at me. And I just went, pow, grabbed the mic back. And I said, you're out of order, sir. Go sit down and shut your mouth. Amen. I said, go sit down and shut up. You're out of order. And the other pervert preacher was sitting back over on that side, got up screaming and yelling. Boy, we had church that night, amen. That's what I call church. You're going to get them devils to come up and put their heads up. He told me right before I went in that church, I never seen the man. You know the story, some of you. But a woman came up and said, man, I'm getting baptized tomorrow. And he looked at the woman and he said, sister, don't you pay no attention to that Jesus name stuff. You get baptized like it says in the Bible in the name of the Father and the name of the Son. In the name of the Holy Ghost, he looked right at me and goes, what you think about that, preacher? I should have said, you're going to find out in about 10 minutes. I just, you know, there was no need to get in a fist fight out there. Let's get some word in some folks first. Amen. I told the man, I said, brother, I preached the word. That's all I said. So I was kind of thinking like, well, Lord, let us, you know, preach for 15 minutes or maybe 20, 30 maybe before we hit the baptism thing. So I went over to another set of scriptures and I'm reading over here and it was as flat as a flitter because that ain't where God wanted me to go. And I'm over here reading in the word, man, and I'm thinking, oh, God. So I just start speaking. And then I said, turn your Bibles over here. Boy, and I mean, I laid it down. Amen. I like to preach God's word. And I love it when the devils get stirred up. That man jumped to his feet and started screaming. That preacher started screaming and yelling. I told him the same thing. I said, you're out of order. Sit down and shut up. I'm here to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you say, well, that don't sound very nice. Amen. Well, let's share some scriptures with you. They were going to rip Paul the apostle in half for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. He even told him, he said, there was a time that you would have plucked your eyes out for me, but he said, now you want to kill me. He was beaten. I think it said 5 times left for dead in the pearls of the sea, left out there treading water all day and night. And we get upset because pew ain't soft enough. Boy, we're snowflake Christians, ain't we? Come on, let's give Jesus a hand. You say, I don't like that. Well, maybe we could look in the mirror and realize what manner of man we are. We could do something about it. Amen. We're so sensitive. Oh, you don't want nobody to be offended. Listen, let me tell you, the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to offend people. It always has and it always will. Everywhere he went, they wanted to take up stones. And you say, well, Brother Rob, the Bible says you're better off to put a millstone around your neck. You better get a revelation of what's that saying. It's talking about a little one, a little baby in Christ. It ain't talking about a theologian devil. It ain't talking about somebody preaching the gospel, bringing false doctrine. You go in the scriptures, and they called them by name. Said, mark them. Amen. We need to get some men of God back in the churches. Come on, brethren. We need to see some men of God back in the churches that are taking authority and preaching the gospel. And quit compromising with this move of this day and hour. They called it one of the most powerful Pentecostal revivals in the last couple decades, right down here in Florida. What was the name of the town in Florida? Anybody remember? What's that? Brownsville. Thank you. That's exactly what it was. That was a perfect name. Brown has to do with corruption. That's what Brown has to do with. And it was some of the most filthy, perverted corruption that came out of that meeting that ever was. I'm talking about the man that started that meeting and found it, left his wife in that meeting, went on for years, and went and married the song leader, is what he did, and he's still married to her. And there's the ones that got the doctrine started when the women are leading their husbands with dog leashes in the church. Leading them and they're barking. And then they stand up on their feet and they all start howling like coyotes. Man, that's a revelation of God. They're a bunch of dogs is what they are. God don't like that foolishness. We don't need a spirit of laughter to vindicate God in the earth. We don't need to run and shout to vindicate that my God is all power and all authority. What we need to see is people getting set free from drugs. People set free from alcohol. People set free from perversion. People delivered and set free. There's your vindication of God in the earth. Amen. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. But we got to have a counterfeit. For everything. Oh man, we had a wonderful service tonight. Amen. Had a wonderful service tonight. Sister Jezebel with her lipstick, boy, she danced all over that church. Oh man, we had a wonderful time. All you seen was a whore up there showing her flesh. I've been there. I watched these Pentecostal women in their tight long dresses with their tambourines dancing like this, their form-fitting tops. Bunch of perversion. You ain't supposed to bring no glory to the flesh. You ain't supposed to be projecting the body of a woman in your services. And when they get up and swing and dance, they got all the men looking on them. It's perversion. I don't care if they got a tambourine. I don't care what they got. Little Brother Ben got engaged. I know some of you know the story, but it's got to be shared right now. Because it fits in what I'm talking about. Got engaged. Pretty little gal. Nice looking little young lady. But a pervert come to town. Called a prophet and an evangelist. Had his boss, had his truck. Traveling church to church. A Pentecostal. Working in the word of knowledge. Working in the gifts and prophesying. Casting out devils. And he was a devil himself. I never met the man. But the Lord spoke to me. And Ben was in love with this little girl. He said, Brother Rob, he said, this prophet, this evangelist, he said, man, he really loves me and my fiance. He wants us to travel with him because he loves the way she dances in the spirit and wants her to travel with him. I said, get away from that man. I said, that man's a pervert, my friend. Oh, Brother Rob, man, this guy's powerful in God. I said, he's a pervert. I said, he's going to bust up your marriage. Just watch and see. You better get away. He didn't take heed to what Brother Rob said. And he lost his fiance to a pervert, an absolute pervert, prophesying, casting out devils, preaching the gospel. Any man that says, I like the way the look of your woman dancing, is a man full of lust. I'm not talking about dancing in the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about these Pentecostal churches, and they put their long flowing dresses on and they dance and they move around. I've been there. I've watched it. It's perversion. If somebody's going to dance in the house of God, it better be under the anointing of God. So I'm seeing on Facebook a few months back or years. I haven't been on there for probably about a year. I've been by there a couple times, put a thing on the page to the brethren, but I haven't been on there. And here's this guy probably, oh, I'd say he was probably about 40 years old. And man, they had the music going. And this guy, boy, he's like this dancing, moving them hips. And he's a dancing. And all these people putting on posts saying, man, look at him dancing the spirit. Man, looks like you guys was having a good time. I would have took that man, and it would have been by the will of God. And I would have shook him until every feeling come out of his head. You understand that? He would have had every vertebrae in his neck realigned by a chiropractor the next day, because I would have cast so many devils out of that pervert. I'm telling you this, brethren, I know what dancing in the Holy Ghost is. I've seen him dance through a crowd of people and never touch a one. I've seen them dance down the aisles and never miss a lick with their eyes closed. That's some Holy Ghost being glory and vindicated. But this pretty boy up there, man, moving, he thought he was Fred Astaire in 2000, huh? And he just danced, and it was flesh and flesh and more flesh. And that's a grievous thing. And people, you take your children to see that, and they think this is God. I had another preacher once send me over here to a church. Right over here near Washington, D.C. They called it a blowout service. A blowout service. Oh, man, the Holy Ghost moved tonight. We had a blowout. Let me tell you something. The only thing that's going to blow out when the Holy Ghost comes is your flesh. It's going to get blown out. And you're going to find that you're established in the spirit of his word. And everything will be done decently and done in order. And everybody in that church was running around. And around, little children, little tiny kids running up on the platform, knocking things down. There's no order in that. Amen. I believe in dancing the spirit. I believe, I know the scriptures. If you want to dance like David danced, it wasn't some fleshly thing. You understand that? It wasn't some trained thing. I could teach you some of the Pentecostal moves. We used to call it the Pentecostal two-step. I could teach that, and if you think every time you start doing that, you got the anointing of the Holy Ghost, you are fool, and you're ignorant. The Bible said, call no man fool. I'm not calling no man a fool. I'm talking to your devil that you got. See, it's a substitute. And you say, boy, Brother Rob, you better be careful. You're going to grieve the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God talking to a foolish, wretched generation of vipers. That's what it is. I've been doing this too long. And walk into these circles. I've been in too many services here and around the world. And I see too much of this stuff. They say a blowout service and a move of God. And God wasn't there. I've been in them. Too many of them. I'm not against the charisma of God's word. Amen. We've seen it right here in this church. And I've seen it in the spirit. And I've seen it in the flesh. I've seen both ways. Amen. I've seen people get in the flesh. Amen. And I've seen them in the spirit. But I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of God is godly and holy and righteous and pure. When the Spirit of God moves in a woman and she dances, it ain't going to be provocative. It ain't going to be lewd by no means at all. It's going to be done decently and in order. We call it slain in the spirit. Something that is so out of order in the churches of America. I've had so many people I go to pray for them, they fall out and hit the floor. And it's the devil in them that don't want me to cast it out. And it thinks it's going to do like they do in these other churches. And they're going to fall on the floor and I'm going to leave them alone. I say, get back on your feet. I ain't done praying for you. When I'm done praying with you, that devil you got's going to leave. Come on now. They've learned what religion is. And I was trained in the charismatic church that when you prayed for someone that fell on the floor, you leave them alone now. God's doing something now. Yeah, you better make sure God is doing something. Amen. I've yanked many of them back up on their feet. And I said, get up here and stand on your feet. I'm not done ministering to you. I've been praying for them and they start shouting and take off running. Get back over here. I'm not done with you yet. The Bible said, lay hands on no man suddenly, but I'm going to suddenly grab you by the hair of your head, for I can hold you still and cast the devil out of you. Amen? But you see, they've been taught. That's the anointing. That's the Spirit of God. They've been taught through the Pentecostals, this charisma and this charismatic, that this is God. He does move in that. You see, Satan's the master of deception. I got to teach this way. I'm not teaching against the power of God. I'm not preaching against dancing in the Holy Ghost. I'm not preaching against speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick. I love those things. But I'm teaching you to get your eyes opened up, for you won't be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, and that you use these lying signs and wonders as a vindication of the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, you'll know when it's the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've been in the services where they teach them to speak in tongues. They give them papers and say, just start crossing up some of these syllables. What kind of foolishness is that? You say, boy, you was in some places I'd never been. Places you've been is those that came out of that foundation I'm talking about. Many of them places. Some of us know. Some of us think we know, but we don't know what we ought to know. Brother Bo, when he came here, he come out of some of that kind of work. He heard me preach, he thought, wow. But then he started watching and looking, and God took the shucks off of his eyes. Was that correct, brother? And all of a sudden he started seeing things differently. Him and two men sat on my porch one day asking questions. You see, Brother Pike said there's twins born in every meeting. Twins. And one went the charismatic way, and he went the way of holiness. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Two old Pentecostal, well, they weren't really very old. They were two Pentecostal women. They said that Brother Rob quenches the Spirit of God. You know what their interpretation of that was? Why? Because I quenched their flesh. And I'll continue to do that. Brother, I'll never stop somebody from magnifying the Lord. Praising His name. You can shout until you have no voice. You can dance until you got no strength. You can roll on the floor. You could prophesy. I don't care. Man, when it's the Holy Ghost, man, I might be right there with you. The Holy Roller, we'll just get down and roll with you, brother. And I mean that with all my heart when it's gone. But I'm going to tell you something. I went to a minister's meeting. It was closed doors. You had to have credentials to get in. And I left this meeting. And these ministers I was with were so tanked up and fired up. And I'm praying before the Lord. I go off by myself and fast and pray, saying, God, I don't want to miss you. But I didn't see you in that meeting. I did not find you there. You speak to me, you talk to me, you fellowship with me. You lead me, you guide me, and you direct me. And I went there and I never heard your voice. I never saw you in this meeting. And it was the most powerful television. Pentecostal preachers gathered from all over United States, and I could not find God there. And you say, you're too critical, Brother Rob. I'm not critical at all. I was looking for fellowship. Just like I was with this other preacher. I was looking for fellowship in the ministry with ministers. And every time I reach out there to do it, I find these things. Well, you're too self-righteous, Brother Rob. No, sir. Let me tell you something. I know what self-righteous is. It'll destroy you and kill you. I've got grace, brethren. But when you call yourself a preacher, I put you in another total different category. I got to also check your age. I got to check how long you've been serving God. I can't expect some young minister and hold him to the same standard. I talk about a seasoned man of God. So with Brother Pike, I was about 34 years old. And me and him and another Pentecostal preacher, we rode off together. There was somebody else with us. It might have been David Paul, I'm not sure. That man was my elder, 75 years old. And I started ministering the word of God about Jesus' name to him. Trinitarian man. And I was the greenhorn man. Just come to Jesus' name doctrine a few months or, you know, maybe a year or so earlier. But it was something, man, that I knew was right. Because my wife could tell you, one of the last services I preached before I came to Georgia, I was preaching on baptism. And I came to a place, and it was preachers in this meeting. And I come to this place, I say, something ain't right here. And I went to a place and got it right. Amen. But I said, I went to this meeting, and I did not find the Holy Ghost there. And these ministers I was with, they were so illuminated when they came out of this place. Man, they was on fire. And you say, that had to have been the Holy Ghost. No, it wasn't the Holy Ghost. I knew those ministers well. And they did that in every meeting they went to. False doctrine would be going forth, and they would be so exuberant. I was on the platform. I told you this before. 30 ministers on the platform, if not 40. And we were having a time of prayer. And I watched this guy, and he would like, you know, there's certain ways that they want you to know they're spiritual. They walk up behind the sacred desk, and then they'll go, "Oh, glory! Come on now, I'm not mocking God now. I would never mock God. But I've walked with these guys. I've talked with these guys. I fellowshiped with them. I went state to state. Was in meeting after meeting with them. And they had a way to make you think they was anointed. They had a way to deliver a message that you would believe they was anointed. One of them I worked with, man, that boy, he'd come up first, start talking to you, and then he would always with that elbow or that shoulder. And it's like, okay, now it's not me no more. It's anointing of God. And this man could preach, man, like no man you ever seen preach. And this man worked in the gifts probably as good as any man of God I've ever met. He would call people out, and I brought people to his meetings. My wife could vindicate this. I took not one, not two, not three. I caught people that I knew he didn't know. He'd call them out. He'd tell them their former life. Tell them things that they did and things they were going to do. And he was accurate. If a man prophesied, I said, "Fear that man." I told my wife, I said, "Irene, there's something wrong with that man. There's something unclean about that man." I was young in the Lord. I had been born again very long. The man rebuked me openly from a sacred desk. Told me I had whale vomit on me. Because he said I was supposed to be a youth pastor in another man's church. And the other man was sleeping with another man's wife in a Pentecostal church. And I said, "No, sir, I done left that church." But he rebuked me. But I saw this man call people out that he had never seen and tell them, read their mail. Tell them things about their life. And go into it in detail. And the man didn't have the Holy Ghost. You say, what was it? It was a familiar spirit. The man went to prison. I broke fellowship with him. I wouldn't have nothing to do with the man. And he went to prison. You know what for? Sodomizing his 9 and 12-year-old boys. I think it was, no, it wasn't 12. The oldest one was 9. Sodomizing his own children. And going into churches and working in the gifts. And everybody was so elated and followed and swelled up. When I met the man and I seen him unveiling so many things, I said, wow, it caught my attention. And I started walking with him, helping him even. I went and set tents for him, went to his meetings. I said, there's something wrong here. A Holy Ghost filled man of God don't lust after other men's wives. I had a cousin that was having marital problems, and I brought his wife to one of his meetings. And this guy did like that pervert I told you about in California, man. Phew. He went and was spying out the weakness of a broken-hearted woman because of her whoremongering husband. And he called himself a prophet. The man died. The man died, fell off a 40-foot ladder, hit the ground. He carried the x-rays with him to show the miracle of God, because he was pronounced dead. And there was another minister with him, or a man to become one. And they were listening to Shambok preach. And he was preaching on raising the dead. And that young man said, you know what? I'm not going to let my friend die. And he said, I command the breath of life. He knew the ambulance drivers already had him covered up with a sheet. He said, I command the breath of life back in you in Jesus' name. And that man sat straight up underneath that sheet. They took him to a hospital. He carried the x-rays to vindicate. He had more broken bones in his body. I mean, he broke more bones than Evel Knievel did. This dude was busted up off a 40-foot ladder, landing slam on the blacktop, flat. It busted everything, killed him. So here's a man that said that he went to heaven while he was dead and met Jesus. That was a good drawing card to bring people in. I saw the x-rays myself. You said, you believe it happened? Yes, I do. But let me tell you something. God could work a miracle for you and raise you up just like he did those lepers that were dying. And only 1 out of 10 came back to worship him and praise him. So he may have just been one of them lepers. He got healed and called forth. And then he turned it into a money thing, going around preaching and calling people and working in the gifts. You see, prophecy is subject unto the prophet. Do you realize that? And let me tell you something. You could be lost on your way to hell, thus saith the Lord, and you can prophesy, and you could speak in tongues, and you could cast out devils, and you could lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. I'm going to tell you, because the rain comes on just and unjust. And they said in the word, when they stand before Jesus, he said, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. But Lord, I prophesied. I cast out devils. You know, man, I preached. When I got reported that man went to prison in Oklahoma for sodomizing his children, I wasn't surprised. It's heartbreaking. You see these men called preachers. You think, well, Brother Rob, did the Lord just take you around and show you all this perversion all over the country like that? You know, I could say, yeah, I think so. Maybe it was preparing me to preach the message that need to go forth in this time, because there's so many people caught in the counterfeit. The Bible said it's a little flock. Few be there that find it. And when I start seeing all the oneness people and the Pentecostal people and the Trinitarian people all departing what they were taught and the message of the founders of their denominations, they're all departing it. And they all got the same doctrine. They all got the same thing. Oh, you need to back off a little bit, man. God's grace, God's mercy, God's kind, God's love. I know the love of God. The love of God used Ananias and Sapphira as an example in church, for the others would take heed. You understand that? And we've made this God. We've created this God, brethren. America has created this big, lukewarm, lascivious, lighthearted God named Jesus. But he ain't that way. My Jesus is a godly, holy, righteous, virtuous, pure, and undefiled. Amen. And he is not going to compromise the scriptures nor the word ever. Never. He's not going to do it. And we've seen too much of this in this time, in this day. I found myself in a lot of heartbreaking, shipwrecked places. I wasn't as fortunate as Sister Marilyn to sit under a man of God for 50 years that was working and living and doing his best to lead the people in the kingdom. I'm sorry, I wasn't that fortunate. I came in with a real draw and a real hunger for God. I left and gave up a lot of things to follow him. And in my search looking for him, I saw a lot of things, brethren. And you say, well, Brother Robert, are you bitter? Absolutely not. I have pity and feel for those people that are caught in that. You know, Brother Steve Strategus, one that we go and visit, when I went and prayed with him 3 or 4 years ago, This is his testimony. He said, Brother Rob, when you prayed, man, there was something broke off me. And it was witchcraft. And the sin of witchcraft. And this man was so brilliant in the scriptures, in the word, and things, but there was a sin of witchcraft on that boy. And when I prayed for him, it broke it off of him, and he is testifying the glory of God and the power of God. But what it was a curse, brethren. And there's many people in that curse. Little Willie's in that curse, brother. You know who I'm talking about. Man, I can go and start naming names of so many people that are caught in that same curse. The serpent seed doctrine, they've used that for a foundation, even though they're not message people. But they teach people that because of the bloodline and the blood life, that they've got a special place in the kingdom. And if you would hang with them and walk with them and support them, then you'll have a special place in the kingdom of God. It doesn't work that way. The Bible does say this: you give that prophet a glass of water, you'll be partakers with his reward. I do understand that. But when a man departs the faith and leaves the doctrine, amen. When a man sits you down in a meeting and he justifies doing another man wrong because he's not the elect and that we are. We're the elect. This man's just serpent seed, man. God, God wants the blessings. It's what laid up the wealth of the unjust for we the just. And that gives us the right to rob that man. Let me tell you, you ever hear something like that come out of my mouth? Please, somebody put my lights out. Please, that'd be the grace of God, the mercy of God. I've been knocked out many times in life, so don't worry about it. I'll probably bounce out of it. Amen. But you know, brethren, when you got a doctrine that makes you better than somebody and gives you the right to rob and to cheat and to steal, you're in false doctrine. Let me tell you something. A man could cheat you. A man could cuss you. A man could lie to you. And if you got even a motive of vengeance and retaliation in you, you've departed from the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one that put that man before you to rob you, to cheat you, to steal from you, for you could show the love of God and say that I got Rob Coons killed out. I got Brother Bo Frady killed out. When they do all matter of evil against you, you're to love them. And you love your enemies and do good to them that despitefully use you. Then you're a candidate to say, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why don't we call that the proof of being filled with God's Spirit? But it's easy to pick, you know, Kawasaki, Suzuki, Yamaha. Amen. Mocking it a little bit there. Amen. Come on, I've heard it all. I would never mock the Spirit of God. God's not mocked. If I mocked the Spirit of God one time in this earth tonight, he'd burn my fields. And I won't do it. I love him. I love his ministry. I love the ministers. And brethren, if the things I've said tonight, I love those men. I've worked with those men and tried to help those men and tried to indoctrinate those men. Many of them. I've been called a cult now. I've been called a false prophet. I've been called a lot of things over the years, but I'm going to keep on preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, brethren. I'm going to keep on pressing and pushing, and I'm not going to bend to the trends of America. As I told you when I was in Romania, not long after the Iron Curtain came down, what year did we go there? 04? That's Philippines. 01, you say? Okay, regardless, it's about 15 years after the Iron Curtain. And that was enough time for the proselyte Pentecostal preachers of United States of America to infiltrate Romania, the underground church that had faith in God. And they went over there and they perverted it. And it became Western theology like the United States of America when those people had God. They had faith. They put their life in danger to serve God. And then we send pretty boys like Benny Hinn, the pervert. Y'all quiet about that. He's a pervert. You say, well, you have any grounds to say something like that, Brother Robert? You go by hearsay. Well, let me tell you, his doctrine is perverted enough for give me the ground to say that. And maybe I wasn't speaking of sexual perversion, but he's that too. Amen. He's a pretty boy. And he does a lot of miracles in his services, but they can't be vindicated. There was a task force that went when he preached in Portland, Oregon. They said there were 31 miracles done that night on the platform. This task force went and followed up behind it. They couldn't vindicate one of them. Let me tell you something, brethren. Listen to me. You could take an elderly woman, man, that her old bones are aching and they're hurting. Her joints are hurting. And she's going to be in that wheelchair because it hurts too bad to get out of it. And you could take the rain of God coming down in a serviceman. And I mean the zip and the zeal and the excitement and the rain. And that gal could get out of that wheelchair and dance all over that platform and be right back in that thing tomorrow night. I've watched it. And you say, well, it took God. You're exactly right, it did. It was the rain coming on there just as she felt the rain of God. Amen. Closing thought. I know I've kept you a while tonight, but listen to me a second, just for a moment more. I went into the first dimension for a moment, and I said, when a man and woman go into the marriage relationship, listen to me, and the woman's barren. Okay, we know this. She don't know that, but the woman is barren. And they go through all the motions with all the zip, all the zeal, all the thrill, all of the fleshly exuberances that can be. The exuberance, the shout, and all the, you know, whatever. You understand what I'm saying. I'm trying to keep everything decent. But there's never going to be a child. And see, the thing is in church services, it's the same way. The Bible said it's the seed that remaineth. The seed comes forth from the word, the sacred desk. And there's going to be people in the services and they're going to have all the same exuberance and all the shout and all the glory and all the things, just like the relationship. But they're barren and they cannot yield forth the fruit of the womb, the Christ child. Amen. Now listen to me. In that little book I wrote back there called, it was written for the prisoners, the inmates, and I said they need an eye and a hearing exam. And the thing is, there's many people that have eyes in this dimension to see, but they're blind in the other. But I made a statement in this little teaching saying, you know, and this isn't a racial statement, but if you were courting a woman or married to a woman, and she's having relationships with another man, and you know he's a black man, and you're a white man, and she's a white woman. Well, I'm going to tell you something. When the child comes forth, you're going to know who the father is. I'm not being crude here. I'm just telling you. It's an allegory. It's a perfect allegory. You're going to know who the father is. And let me tell you something. When you're professing to be the bride of Christ, and you're in a relationship, and you're going to the churches, and you're going through the motions, the relationship, okay? There should be coming forth the fruit of the womb in your life. You're in the motions and in relation, and we're going to be looking to see what the fruit is coming forth. And when we see the fruit of the world, and we see the drunkenness, and the adultery, and the fornication, you understand what I'm saying? And we see all of the lust and the love of the world. You cannot profess to me that you are a Christian. Oh, but Brother Rob, I got baptized in Jesus' name 33 years ago. Man, I spoke in tongues. I said, I don't care what you done 33 years ago. I'm talking about what you're doing tonight. Amen. Amen. And if you got filled with the Holy Ghost, he never lost a one except the son of perdition. So you must be numbered with the son of perdition. Amen. The Bible says this. When you depart, it was to be made manifest that you were never of him. Amen. So this man that went to prison, he could stand before the Lord. But Lord God, you healed me with every broken bone in my body. And you brought me back to life. You see, that's a great miracle. But that's not the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle, when the 70 that Jesus sent out, boy, they come back and they were enthusiastic, boy, and they was, man, the devils are subject unto us. Man, they were excited. And what did he say to them? He said, but brethren, there's one thing greater. Amen. There's something greater than all that, that your name be in the book of life. Amen. So let's don't use a substitute of the shout and the dance and the run and the charisma to substitute godliness, holiness, righteousness, and virtue. I was in a Pentecostal church, and they, man, I had been filled with the God's Spirit, but they didn't hear me speak in tongues. In every service, they dragged me out of the pews and dragged me into the altars all the time, saying, come on, Brother Rob, come on, Brother Rob, come on, Brother Rob. Let go, brother, let go, let go. Hang on, hang on, hang on. And I've been there, brother. I've been in them places. They say, you ain't got the Holy Ghost. I've been done set free from drugs. I've been set free from business and alcohol and all these things. But I didn't have the Holy Ghost, they said. But old John had come to church, had a wonderful wife, an elderly gal. Boy, she loved the Lord. Wasn't John, was his name? Big, tall guy, Stokes. Whoo, Stokes, I never even thought about that. Wow. Man, he was a smoker. Wasn't that his name? Man, he had a Stokey boy. Man, he had to. That was his name. I never even put that together. But man, he was one of the spirit-filled brethren in the church. Man, he got in the altar speaking in tongues and dancing. And the rascal come to church, man, smelling like an ashtray. Let me tell you, when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to put that under your feet. Real quick, he's an old man. You see, I've been through these doctrines. I've been through all these things. You think that man was lost because he smoked? I'm not going to go there with you. He just smelled like hell. Huh? Come on now. I don't think a Christian's supposed to smell like hell. You say, that's kind of rude, Brother Ron. Well, hell's got a smell. Some things are a stench in the nostrils to God, so it has a smell. Come on now. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody what they smell like. You can do it in love. Sir, I love you, but you smell like a hog. I'm repenting. Sometimes you have to. I told a brother one time, I said, brother, it's okay to come home and after we've been all working hard day all day. I'll tell you what, old Brother Rob, man, I've come in the door before working a hard day with men out working like men supposed to. And then I say, ooh, boy, he ain't smelling too good. You better put them clothes in the laundry room and you better get in there and get bathed up. Oh, come on, baby, give me a kid. No, it ain't going to work. But I tell me, and I say, brother, it's okay to smell like a hog when you're coming in from work, because we all probably do. But don't show up in the morning that way. Come on. You say, what'd you say that for? Well, I could go into the revelation of that if you'd like me to. But I'm not going to. It's getting late. But I'm going to close this service what I said here now. Let me close it like this. So I spoke of the relationship, the exuberance, but there was no fruit of the womb. You see, there's men that have no power in the seed. Okay? A woman could be barren. A man could be sterile. A man that's had a vasectomy cannot bring forth life in the first dimension. Okay? It doesn't matter about how much exuberance, how much flesh, how much excitement, it's still going to be that way. And brethren, I'm going to tell you this, thus saith the Lord, I'm prophesying. And if this is incorrect, then I'll stand the judgments of Almighty God. But I'm going to tell you there's more barren and powerless preachers in the United States of America, far, far, far greater percentage than men that are preaching God's word undefiled and delivering it with all their heart and all their soul and serving God. The percentages are so small. I didn't prophesy a percentage to you, but I can tell you this, and I'll say thus saith the Lord again, that the numbers of the false, of the ones that are, the Bible says, are hirelings and tickling the ears, are so many multiplied times more of them. And that's why the Bible said, little flock, few be there that find it. The righteous scarcely make it. Amen. I'm not against the church, brethren. When I find the Spirit of God in a man that's in false doctrine, he doesn't know he's in false doctrine. He needs you to love him and help him and show him. Brethren, I thank God. When I was caught in false doctrine, I was in search. I was unhappy. I was departing. My wife could testify this when we were looking before I come to Little Bethlehem. I was in search. I was in a Trinitarian church, an assembly of God. I'd been saved about a year, maybe a year and a half. And I loved the Lord with all my heart. And I was faithful in church, and I was doing everything I could to learn. I started immediately working in the ministry of helps. I was doing more work than the pastor was, bringing an increase into a church. And it was a oneness church across the street, catty corner in this town, corner to corner. I'm in the assembly of God, and this was a oneness church right here in the corner. This happened a revival meeting. Man, and I seen the people coming out of there, and they looked like they was wonderful people. And I thought, maybe I'd go over there some night or so. Oh, no, you can't go. That's a cult. It is? Why? And I was the one that was in false doctrine. They may have been too, brethren. I never went there. I submitted to my elders. Brother William Branham submitted to his mother-in-law. Some of you know the story. Don't mess with them people. Them people are dogs. Don't mess with them. Cost him dearly, didn't it? Brethren, we're in a day and hour that we got to be so careful. Try the Spirit and see if it be of God. That's what the Bible says. First thing, take that to the Spirit that's speaking to you. When you have a thought come, something come to you, try that Spirit and see if it's God. Sometimes the Spirit could speak to you and it's going to sound like God. It's going to look like God. It's going to taste like God. But if you try that Spirit, you're going to find out it ain't God. Spirits can flatter you. If you're moved by flattery, you're in trouble. Because man, the old devil will flatter you. Oh, Brother Rob, man, brother, that was awesome. That was the greatest. Oh, Brother Rob, you know, let me lay hands on you. Get you behind me, Satan. There's nothing wrong with giving honor to who honor's due, the Bible says. And brethren, you can honor a man of God. You can say, brother, thank you, man. I had some things troubling me. I've been praying about them, and you brought clarity to me in your message. Thank you, brother. That's not flattery, brother. That's like when you go to a place to eat, and they fix you a meal, and you say, hey, that was good. Don't tell them it was better than their wife could do it, though. Just, man, that was really good, brother. Almost as good as my wife, but that was good. Stand to your feet with me. I love you and appreciate you. Y'all love the Lord tonight? God's good, isn't he? Amen. Hey, Brother Tab, are you awake over there? Oh, no, I can hear him already. Can you guys hear? He's going, oh, come on, Brother Rob. Man, don't do. Man, I'm awake, brother. Amen. Y'all love the Lord? Thank you for giving me adequate time this evening. Brethren, I know you could hear me preach and it sound like I'm against a lot of things, and I'm really not. And a lot of the things that I sound like I'm against, there is a real, true, genuine in the Holy Ghost of those things. But careful. Be careful. Brother Welch, I think was his name, Welch? Tony, yeah, Brother Tony Welch. He said he went to an apostolic church over in Alabama. He was Trinitarian. And he was getting his eyes opened up to some of the Jesus name things and this and that. He got hung up with sports a little bit, Brother Ed, you know, just couldn't get over the hurdle of sports and, you know, short pants and some of the holiness doctrine. You know, we can go into some other things, you know. Man needs to lead his house and not let his wife lead the house, man. I'm telling you. And his wife done some things purposely to put a division because she didn't want anything to do with this. But a man of God would take heed to the spirit of the word, and he put his house in order. But my purpose here isn't to slander the brother, but I'm saying this, that he went to an apostolic church for 3 months. Now, I've shared this with you, but I'm sharing it again because it kind of helps cap off what we're talking about tonight. And he said they got there. The pastor's wife got on the piano. He said every service, it all started out the same way. They'd have a prayer, they'd stand up to sing, and boy, she starts jamming on the piano, boy. And then another sister gets up and gets up on the platform and they start shouting and dancing and praising God. I'm all for that, brethren. I love that, honestly. I mean that with all my heart. But he said this went on. If his words of expression are accurate, I could believe it, brother, because I've been there. But he said this went on for 3 months. He said, I went to that church for 3 months. I never heard the pastor preach one message. He said his wife would start playing the piano and they'd be singing. She'd start speaking in tongues. These other women get up and they'd start shouting and prophesying and shouting and singing and dancing. And then people would start running around the church and they'd get all wore out and they'd dismiss. That's grotesque error. You need to always have time for the Word. It's the Word that sets people free. It's the Word that delivers the afflicted. It's the Word that saves souls, brethren. It's not the charisma. It's not the rain. It's not the shout. Amen. I've seen too many people shout, and they shouted their voice gone, and they left still bound. It's the Word, the doctrine that sets them free. The Lord commanded us to preach doctrine. We had a Pentecostal preacher in here not many days back. And he said, Brother Rob, I don't preach doctrine. Doctrine separates people. He don't have no business ever stepping a foot in a church or an evangelistic tent meeting. Never, nowhere. If you don't preach doctrine, you ain't got nothing to say. It's the doctrine of baptism in Jesus' name that remits sins. You understand that? It's the doctrine of the Word. To separate yourself from the world. To be a separate people. To come out of the unclean thing. That's doctrine. We teach doctrine. And you ain't got nothing to say if you don't preach doctrine. Amen? The thing is, I'd love it to see the move of the Spirit move on people. Get people liberated, maybe we could say. Freed up a little bit. Some of you say, come on, lift your hands to the Lord. Man, come on. You know, somebody put a gun in your face, they say, put up your hands. You ain't going to do that. You're going to say, yes, sir. Well, let me tell you something. Why? Because they're surrendering to the submission of that gun. And if the preacher says, lift up your hands, somebody ought to go, well, praise God. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. But you can lift your hands up and touch the ceiling. Don't mean that you've been set free. But let me tell you something, you'll know when they have been. Amen. 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 I'm going to refrain from dancing around the church tonight, Brother Ed. After a message like that, it might tear y'all up a little bit. Amen. Let's sing a song or two, brethren. The altars are open tonight. I love you.
As the Lord, as He goes by, you'll find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Sing by this moment.
Your needs to supply.
Yes, sir.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes.
Let's worship Him, saints.
As He goes by, you will find He's not too busy to hear your heart's cry.
Thank you, Lord.
See by this moment
your needs to supply.
Thank you, Lord.
Reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by.
I want some of you brethren gathered around Brother Bo Freddie. Won't you pass this anointing all around?
He's not too busy to hear your heart.
I want you sisters to point your hands towards this brother. Can you pray with me? Saints of God, let's try to pray and agree with me. Praise you, Jesus. Malia satari andrasio cosi tiri a te. Iasi tiri ascendere che sete li mocos. Iaki hasciti li macaia talamacondo rematisci. Jesus. Gloria salama kishandala mocatala yasciti di andrasio cosi. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this, my brother. I thank you, Almighty God, for your grace and your strength, Lord God. Well, Father, as this brother has come to these altars tonight, God, drawn from your word, Lord God. And Father, we believe your word, Lord God. Father, we know that the Bible teaches, let your word be true and every man be a liar. And Lord God, I don't care what the doctors say. I don't care what anybody says, I believe your word, Lord God. And I rebuke this problem in this brother's leg right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I know, Father, you had this, my brother, in mind. Lord God, when you took that terrible beating upon your back. Oh, Lord God, again, I know that's not in vain, Lord. Almighty God, I ask you right now, Lord God, to reach down, Lord God, whatever that problem is, Lord. Oh, Father, you made this body, created it, Lord God, and we believe your word again said it's wonderfully made. And Father God, we're calling upon you, the creator, the maker, the builder, Lord God. And we're asking you right now, Lord God, to touch him. Oh, Father God, let the virtue of my Lord and God, Jesus Christ, Lord God, enter into this joints right now, Lord God, into this problem, Lord God. Restore, rebuild, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, thank you. We worship you, Lord God. I praise your holy name, Lord God. Holy Asatana Matrashion Doramakos. Your name. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Let's worship the Lord, saints. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment, your needs will supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. Let me mention a couple things as we close the service. I called North Carolina again on Brother Melvin's behalf. He was supposed to have been released yesterday. I know you know that. I called the state of North Carolina. It still isn't up here. The money's been taken out of his account to pay the fees for the interstate compact. And George is just kind of laying down on the job, so to speak. I know sometimes we could sit back here and judge things one way, brethren, think, I do understand there's thousands of people that got to go through these offices. You know, when you look at the Interstate Compact Board or you look at the Pardon and Parole Board, you got to think of how many thousands of men are incarcerated. I think when I was in a meeting the other day, the warden said, I think 13%, if I could stand correct. I mean, is that what he said, Stephanie? You remember? Was it 13% in the state of Georgia incarcerated? And he said the numbers of thousands. So, you know, how many of them are being paroled and stuff? So I understand these people are covered up. I also understand that they've got families And they're probably being cursed out, cussed out, yelled at on a daily basis. Because nobody's, you know, this is my son, you know, and we're an entitlement people. Americans are entitled. They've got an entitlement mentality. Everybody owes them. Everybody should take care of them. I don't want to project that, brother, never. I try to show grace. I try to show mercy. I try to show understanding. But then yet, on the same breath I'm saying that, as I spoke earlier tonight about the government and about the waste and about, you know, I agreed with Trump when he said, hey, we need to remove this organization. They're talking about totally removing the EPA. I disagree with that. We need an environmental protection agent because of the love of money. Men out here with their making money in their factories, they'll take the pollutants out of it and they'll go dump them in the rivers instead of paying to properly do it. We need EPA. So when they talk about doing away with EPA, I'm in total disagreement with that. But I'm going to tell you something. They have so legislated everything, brethren. Mm-hmm. He put a freeze on lobbyists. Come on now, I love that. I don't know if some of you understand what that means. But you know, if I'm a lobbyist and you're running for president, I can come to you and say, well, look, I'm going to give you $500,000 in your party, but as soon as you get in office, I want you to pass this law that every American has to have auto insurance. Pretty good when you're an insurance man. You lobby for that insurance man, you just made him millions of dollars. Amen. That's the way things work in America. I understand that. But he put a freeze on the lobbyists that are already in political office. I love that. That is awesome. I'm not in agreement with this man on everything he's doing. You've done heard me say. He said some frightening things to me. But I'll tell you what, there we need some business ethics in America again. Because they're doing some ignorant things that just don't work. Biblical things don't work to a businessman. They seem absurd to him. So I know how to think like the mind of Christ. When somebody says you're going to give all your strength away, no, Brother Pike said it properly. You can keep your finances and keep yourself poor, or you can give your finances and give yourself rich.
That's right.
That's the biblical way, and I agree with that. We can't cut benevolence off in America, but we need to make sure that we're not blessing and being an enabler to sluggards. You understand? The welfare system of America encourages women not to marry and to have more babies. And they get more money. Have more babies, get more money. And they just, you know, they encourage it. You see? But the thing is, we don't need to encourage sin and things. There's elderly Christian people that have had their husbands pass away and their wives pass away. And they've gone to counsel to many ministers saying, look, you know, I met this other gentleman. They're free to remarry. Their spouses are gone. But they say, man, we're much better off if we're not married on taxes and all this. And they want to shack up. They want the blessing of the preacher for them to shack up. Y'all know I put a man out of church for that here, didn't I? I said, Brother, you ain't going to sit in my services, man, while you're shacked up and mock the Spirit of God. It ain't going to happen. So there's a lot of things that need to be fixed. Do you think this man could do it? Absolutely not. This man has got some of the old school ideology that should have never left the Oval Office, Amen. If you don't know the truth of it. Amen. But it's done been gone for so long and so far and so much corruption is put in. Now, he made this statement in this address the other night, and I'm not a politician, but I want you to hear this. They said that he took and made the deficit greater than all of the previous presidents before him, all combined, in the last 8 years. I heard him say that. You say, well, you think it's true? I don't know. The man's been saying some pretty straightforward things. He's got a lot of people draining that swamp. He's got a lot of people upset, showing a lot of skeletons down in there, man. Y'all believe that? Can you imagine that? Well, I think it's Brother Pike said this, so we know that it's been over 20 years ago, brother. But he said they've gone past the point of no return. Mm-hmm. He said there ain't nobody ever going to put it in order ever again. And he said America's going to pay.
Sure.
He said when they bombed all those babies and children and stuff in Hiroshima, You say, but that was World War, Brother Rob. They were bombing and killing thousands of people all over the world. There's a proper way, brethren, to do things, but not to do like they did. They could have done some stuff and put it in order. I know how the mind of military thinks. They think we took out 100,000 or whatever, but we saved millions. It may be true, but the man of God said they'll pay for that. And he did say this. He said, bombs will come to America. And you say, well, I don't know if I believe that. Well, they already come. Those airplanes were turned into bombs, brought the towers down. He had a vision of that before he went off the scene. He said, in my mind, I thought maybe it was Atlanta because it was big, tall buildings. He had a vision. He come to the brother and he said, man, this is going to happen. He said, I just know it was big, tall buildings. It may be in Atlanta. I don't know where it was, but it was big skyscrapers. And he said, I seen people jumping out of them. Now on fire. Did that happen?
Yeah.
Sure did. There were many people watching and seeing people plummet to their death trying to get out of the flames. Very sad. You know, brother, I'm not some doomsday prophet hoping for the destruction of America. You know, I live here too. But I'm just telling you, don't put your trust and your hope in the government, in the military, or anything. Put your trust and hope in Jesus and Him alone. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Get Brother Jeff to dismiss us tonight, brother, if you will. I love y'all. Appreciate you. Pray for me. Pray for Brother Tab that this thing will get straightened out real promptly, that I can make the right decisions and move in the right direction. That's what I'm trying to do. Remember Brother Joseph Wise, Sister Marilyn's. Boy, there's a man came to me, started sharing with me, man. He has a drug rehab right up here in town. He said he's got bed space. He said, if they don't have the money, he said, I'll, you know, he said, I wouldn't turn them away. But he told me, he said, it'll cost about, you know, he said, usually I get about a $600 or $700 deposit, he told me. I told him, you'd all take care of that. Is that all right?
Amen.
But I left it up with his mother. I said, you know, you'll have to make that decision. So she's praying about it. And if it works out that way, I'm going to give her the paperwork. She could talk with this man down here, Pierce Ministry. And it's a 9-month program. He wants and she wants him to be in a long-term program to get off the drugs. So let's pray about that. When he was under Brother Jesse's probably hooked up with his side. He said he stayed clean. Some people are weak, brother, and they need a brotherhood to just keep them, yeah. Keep them awake, keep them up, and keep them going. So, you know, he's no different than many. So be in prayer for him. He's failed. He feels like a failure. Pray for them. That's what we do. We try to help the weak and the broken. That's what we do. Amen. So I don't know anybody in here could be so spiritual and righteous that they can't help the weak or the afflicted.
Amen.
Or the broken. Huh?
Amen.
God reached down and saved my sorry self, Brother John. So if I don't think he could reach down and get Brother Joseph Wyatt, man, I might as well quit preaching the gospel. Amen. That means I got the problem. Amen. Let me tell you something. If you esteem your brethren greater than yourself, you know that it's easy for them to get them. See, you look at the sin of alcohol and drugs as a greater sin than being a businessman. But I'm going to tell you this. A businessman is harder to get delivered than a drunk or a cocaine or a heroin addict. A businessman is on his way to hell just like the drunk and the whore is. You understand that? They got the love of money. It's all about them and their business. And they'll rob the people to make more money. They'll cheat the people. They'll merchandise the people. Oh, but they do it all in the name of business. A doctor, Brother John, they know what'll fix the people, but they're not going to do it because they get more money from the medicine company and they get kickbacks. I've done several $1,000s worth of remodeling for one of the doctors right here in town. And he goes, hey, I'm going to go stay in the Grand over this weekend. $1,600 to stay in there for the weekend in golf. And he said the medical company paid for it. Man, I'm not going to spend that kind of money. But the medicine people paid for it. For when you come in, oh, I'm going to prescribe this one to you. You can go to Walmart and get it for $4, but you get it from him. They're going to charge your insurance company about $400 for the same thing. I know what I'm talking about. You may think I don't. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And that doctor, oh, he goes up here to the Methodist church. I'm remodeling his house and it's full of whiskey bottles. I remodeled a summer home. You go up there and the refrigerator's full of beer. The cabinet's got whiskey in it. But praise God, I'm a member of the First Methodist Church in High Point, North Carolina. Everything he hears that goes forth from that desk is going to do but one thing for him. It's going to judge him on the day of judgment. Amen. That's all it'll do. You see, that's a form of godliness denying the power thereof. Let me tell you, you don't call yourself a Christian when you're doping and alcohol and drinking and all that junk. You ain't no Christian. You just need to get born again is all you need to do. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I thought you was closing, brother. God bless. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.